President Biden is in a disaster area. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. He just landed in Kentucky, where at least 37 people died in flooding devastation.
We need water, cleaning supplies, and bed linen, and clothes.
He's in Neon, Kentucky, not a community the president will visit.
This town is almost 100% destroyed. Unless you were on high ground, you were flooded with rapid rising waters, 10 feet or more in some spots.
Fox Weather's Robert Ray standing near a pile of debris.
All weekend, people were driving up into here asking and saying to folks, we are in need. Many of these folks live in poverty, and now their homes are gone, displaced. There are people here that would like to rebuild, but the question is, will the funds come in?
Before flying to Kentucky, the president was asked about all the Chinese military drills around Taiwan.
I'm not worried, but I'm concerned that they're moving as much as they are. But I don't think they're going to do anything wrong.
China's angry. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan, which China considers its territory. President Biden also praised the bill Senate Democrats passed as life-changing for seniors. Fox's Jackie Heinrich is at the White House.
Poll after poll has showed the biggest problem for the president and his party is inflation. And even though they've dubbed this bill the Inflation Reduction Act, the Congressional Budget Office found that it will have little to no impact on inflation. Democrats say prescription drug costs will fall after Medicare negotiations. They also believe that energy costs will be reduced by rebates and credits.
Well, those are incentives for us to switch to renewable energy in our homes and buy electric cars, all to fight climate change. House Democrats can also pass the bill without Republican support, but GOP Congressman James Comer tells Fox,
most Americans realize that if the government spends more money and spends more money recklessly and unnecessarily, then that's going to lead to more inflation.
A sheriff's deputy is being mourned in El Paso County, Colorado, the day after being shot and killed. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's heroes and their families since 9/11. U.S. Army Specialist Jason Wheeler is one such hero. He re-enlisted after 9/11, but training accident injuries left him unable to walk. Specialist Wheeler and his family received a mortgage-free smart home that's custom designed for his needs. Help heroes like Jason and their families. Join Tunnel to Towers' mission to do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at TTT.org.
From the very beginning, and every workday since, at every shift, and every individual effort, we carry a common purpose, a common cause. It's a duty we proudly honor, knowing behind every product we build is your faith in us. Dedicated to the craft of gun making. Dedicated to your freedom, equality, security, and the promise of this great country. Smith & Wesson, empowering Americans. Learn more at smith-wesson.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. The White House has been condemning the harsh prison sentence that was put on WNBA star Brittany Griner. During a briefing, the press secretary says how Russia is wrong for detaining Griner. Read more about the sentence on the website. Yuma Police Department has been asking the community for help in identifying a person who damaged a Crane School District building. The photo has been posted to YumaDailyNews.com. Arizona Senior Senator Kristen Sinema and Republican Senator Rob Portman have been introducing the Border Patrol Enhancement Act. Sinema says the Border Patrol needs to be kept a strong workplace to secure the border, protect communities, and ensure the fair and humane treatment of migrants. Learn more about the act, YumaDailyNews.com. Former Arizona news anchor Carrie Lake has been reported as a projected winner of the Republican primary in the governor's race. Lake will face Democratic Senator of State Katie Hobbs in the November election. Read more about the race on the website. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
It's been a while since I gave myself a real chance to meet someone new.
Susan and John are two kindred spirits who rediscovered the romance they deserve on Sober Singles, the secure dating site for singles over 50.
John is a massive foodie like me. It's been amazing to experience some of my favorite things again with someone who makes my heart beat faster. I'm so glad I got back out there.
Sign up today at silversingles.com/date. That's silversingles.com/date.
When a child is diagnosed with cancer, the last thing parents should have to worry about is how to pay for it. This is a St. Jude moment.
Calvin got diagnosed June 10th of 2018. He has Rademeyer sarcoma, a soft tissue cancer. One oncologist told us if it was my son, we'd go to St. Jude. and within 24 hours, we were on a plane headed here. It's hard to fathom what St. Jude has done for us. They've really given our family hope. For the donors out there, it's just amazing. I never thought we would be in this place. And it's people like you that help us and help St. Jude provide for a family like ours. St. Jude is the gold at the end of a rainbow. And we are so grateful and thankful for everything.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
The economy is heading for a total disaster. The Fed must choose between a stock market and housing market crash or hyperinflation. Hi, this is Stephen K. Bannon, and I urge you to diversify your retirement savings into physical gold today. To help you get started, my friends at Birch Gold have created a free information kit on gold IRAs. To get your free copy, just text SAFEGUARD to 989898. There's no obligation or purchase required. Again, that's SAFEGUARD to 989898.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner from Deason, Garner, and Hanson, and this is Life, Death, and the Law. I'm in studio here with Cody Beeson. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we have an exciting show for today, another Monday, and we want to kick it off by first of all recognizing that this week, August 11th, is my wife's birthday. So I want to make sure I recognize her before I forget and get myself in trouble there. So happy birthday, Brittany. Another thing that we want to talk about is last week there was the primary elections, and we had some interesting results. I think primarily positive when we're looking for the people that are going to represent the Republican Party in the general election. You go down the list, and we start looking at who will most likely represent us for the governor's race, and that is Carrie Lake. Her main opponent there in that primary was Karen Taylor Robson.
Right.
Both good candidates.
And we had a discussion about those two in the past, and what do you think?
So I personally like Carrie Lake. I know that she is a bit more progressive. She's not your traditional conservative Republican, and Karen Taylor Robson is. But honestly, at this point, I think that there's politics have gotten even uglier and more of a fistfight than they had been in the past, and you need a fighter. You need somebody that is willing to go toe-to-toe with the opposition party, throw a few punches, take a few on the chin, and keep in the fight. And she can do that. And also, when she does, I do like her statements as policy. We'll see what she actually does because she hasn't been in politics before.
Right? Yeah, she's a newscaster.
Yeah, she's been a reporter for 20 years. And so she's been on both sides of the aisle, right? She supported Barack Obama, and we know that. And she's been a little bit more liberal when it comes to like the transgender type of support. You know, she attends apparently drag queen events. I'm not as concerned. That does concern me a little bit. Every time I look into a candidate, I want to look into who they are as a person, and their moral character comes into that, right? If they can't maintain their household at home, how are they supposed to help govern abroad or at large? But she's very adamant that what adults do is different than what we indoctrinate our children to do. And currently the issue is, should we expose children to transgender ideologies and allow them to decide for themselves what gender they are and what lifestyle they want to lead in grades as early as first and second and third. And absolutely not is my response. So as far as that goes, you know, you got Karen Taylor Robson that is a little bit more conservative and a little bit more, I think, predictable as far as what she would do as a politician. Carrie Lake is less predictable. If this was pre-2016, I would say let's go with the predictability. But seeing what Trump was able to bring to the table, I was not a fan of Trump in 2016. And I'll tell you, I didn't even vote for Trump in 2016 because I thought he was too radical. I thought, you know, who knows what we're going to get with this guy. And every time he spoke, the claims that he was a narcissist, I think, were manifested because he does think that he is God's gift to the world. But I can't argue with his policies and what he actually was able to accomplish. And for the American people, we are better off for it. We are running out of the surplus that he built up for us quickly. Joe Biden is quickly wasting that away, but he did some fantastic things for the country and the world. He went and helped out with the Middle East, reestablished our relationship with Israel, and tried to settle tensions there, and did a better job than all the Democratic predecessors to him, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and even the Bushes. He accomplished quite a bit. So you look at what he did for the economy, you look at what he did for the world. The world knew exactly what his position was. North Korea was threatening nuclear missile strikes every other week during Barack Obama's presidency. As soon as President Trump got in there, President Trump's like, listen, fire or don't fire. If you do, you'll be done, right? You're living your little bubble right now with your surrounded by your lies and schemes, and you know that, and you can continue to enjoy that, and we'll ignore you. Or if you continue to threaten us, then we're going to expose you for what you are, and that's generally going to be with a big firebomb. So that put the world on notice that America wasn't messing around anymore. And under the Democratic leadership, I think the world felt like, man, we can keep these guys talking forever as we go in and orchestrate whatever manipulative scheme we want, like this whole Iran nuclear deal.
I mean, it really felt like the 8 years prior to that, like the world was walking over America. And that was the difference.
And America was saying, yes, please do, and can I have some more? And yeah, we're sorry for whatever we did prior to that point.
Yeah, we'll bow to you. You know, and that was literally happening. But, you know, Sean, I think back of those conversations, and I remember, you know, what you said, and it really did resonate with me. And you're like, I have to explain this to my children. And when my children are asking questions like, why is the president, you know, using this kind of language or doing these kind of actions, mm-hmm, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. You and that was the hardest thing for me. So the moral issue for me was a real stumbling block to get on the Trump train. But gosh, at the end of the day, when he gets things done and the other candidates promise to the world and deliver nothing except more socialistic, you know, programs and regimes, you got to go with the person that offers freedom. And I'm for freedom, whether that's choosing to make bad decisions for yourself as an adult,
right,
not as a child, but as an adult, and even if those are bad decisions. And so I'm all about people being able to decide if they want to stay in or go out if there's an epidemic, and if they want to be exposed to what the COVID terrorists, our COVID epidemic is, then let them be exposed. That's what a free country is. It comes with pros and cons. If they want to hide under their couch, let them hide under their couch. If they want to get vaccinated with a vaccine that has very little long-term research and testing evidence as to the efficacy and side effects, let them get vaccinated. And don't let all of those things be political issues. Let the people choose for themselves. That's what freedom means. We're coming, you know, a lot of people were saying that the epidemic with the coronavirus was not, it should not be political, and that all we need to do is hunker down for a few weeks and then a few months and a few years, and it's good for everybody. But we were supposed to follow the science until the science clearly shows that could not be stopped, no matter if we were wearing one mask or four masks or having one vaccine or four additional boosters, you're going to get the virus. And let each individual talk to their doctors, look at the medical research, and decide for themselves what it is that they want to do for their personal health care decisions. That's what a free society traditionally does.
Well, I mean, we saw that manipulated this time around. I mean, we saw if you want to continue to go to your job or if you want to live a life, you're going to have to, you know, do this.
You know, how many thousands of people were laid off or fired because they would not get the vaccine? How demoralized was the military because of the politics around the vaccine that got involved? It just really separated the country. And that was really, really unfortunate. And so, again, we're getting off the topic a little bit. What the topic was is does a candidate like Trump allow us to exercise freedom, and then he does his own thing on his own personal time, which may or may not agree with, but at least allows the rest of us to exercise our freedom? And I think the answer to that is yes. And so when you get a candidate like that, those are holding true to the values of the founding fathers and truly what I think are our inalienable rights, which is to decide how we exercise our liberty as we go throughout this life. So I think those are super important issues. I think both Carrie Lake and Taylor Robinson, they supported those issues, but Carrie Lake, she was endorsed by Trump, and she's more of a radical thinker, specifically on the topic of issues like water. She wasn't entrenched in the system like Taylor Robinson was. When she was asked what she would do to address the drought issue that we're facing, and it's severe. I'm surprised it's not a talking point every day on the news, on the radio, everywhere you look, because Lake Mead, which is one of the largest reservoirs in the United States, and Lake Powell, which is right up there with it, are at 23% of capacity.
Have you seen, like, those water lines?
I've been watching it on a weekly basis. I'm an avid boater. I was up at Lake Mead last year. I was up at Lake Powell as well. Lake Powell, the launch ramp was a mile long to get to the water, and there was only, I think, only one or two launch ramps available at that time, and it's gotten significantly worse since then. And when we're talking about the water level dropping here, we're talking about it dropping by 100 feet, and it's 75,000 acres of water. When that much water drops by 100 feet, we've got a catastrophe just right at our doorstep. The rains that occurred in Las Vegas, that flooded Las Vegas, they added essentially 1/4 of an inch.
So
1/3 of an inch.
Sorry. Not enough to move the dial.
1/3 of an inch to that lake, okay? So people are like, well, it rained a lot. Is that going to help the drought? 1/3 of an inch to a lake that's down 100 feet. No.
And you know,
it helps a lot.
And you look at communities like Las Vegas, and they're doing things like adding AstroTurf, and they're adding incentives so you don't use water. And that's not really a good sign. That's not a sign that we've solved the problem at all.
Right, right. And here's the thing, though. When you use water, and I'm not the expert, obviously, but here's the thing. It actually is a life cycle that can continue to work together in a cyclical pattern that it's not the more that you use, the less that you have. You can use water and continue to have and recycle and reuse that water over and over again for multiple uses. For example, you can go out, and the whole reason that Yuma has so much groundwater and the wells are so shallow that we can dig is because we are using the Colorado River to irrigate the fields. If you stopped using the Colorado River to irrigate the fields, the wells would dry up. So you can't just say, well, I've got a well, I don't have to worry about the river water. Well, unless that river water is there irrigating and constantly replenishing the underground water sources, you're not going to have those wells. And the same thing happens in Las Vegas and everywhere else. They can use water to water the grass and the farms and the crops and produce not only good quality of life, but food for the country. But then that water goes into the underwater aquifers and aquifer is a good moisturizer.
Okay.
And they can continue to use that water. And honestly, when you use the water in your home and it goes down the drain and it goes to the city water treatment plant, that water comes out cleaner than it came in originally. And most cities send that water downstream. So essentially, the Colorado River, the water that we're seeing, is actually been used dozens of times before it gets to us, which sounds kind of gross. But in reality, it comes out cleaner every single time. And so we actually get a very good, clean water source because of all the uses that it went through. So it's not like you use water and it's gone. You can use it over and over again if you use it appropriately. We just need to make sure that there's enough coming down and available in the first place. We've got to take a break. It says 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. When we come back, we're going to bring on Adam Hansen and then talk a little bit about the election results. And also, the beloved Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Morning, brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
We did see some showers and thunderstorms around the area yesterday, and along with those thunderstorms, some gusty winds, but there was not a lot of rain. Well, we have that possibility of more rain today, but it's a slim one. Only a slight chance of a thunderstorm late this afternoon. Temperatures a little bit warmer, 105 today. And a slight chance of a thunder shower tonight. We'll continue with plenty of sunshine and one or two thunderstorms tomorrow and Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them?
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America.
California tribal leaders urge you to vote yes on Prop 27. Because Prop 27 supports every single California tribe, including financially disadvantaged tribes who don't own big casinos. Prop 27 will also provide hundreds of millions of dollars every year for permanent solutions to homelessness, mental health, and addiction in California. By taxing and regulating online sports betting with strong protections for minors, we can protect tribal sovereignty and help the people in our state that are hurting the most. Vote yes on Prop 27 and get a win for all Californians. Ad paid for by Yes on 27, Californians for Solutions to Homelessness and Mental Health Support. A coalition of housing and mental health experts, concerned taxpayers, and digital sports entertainment and gaming companies. Committee major funding from Penn Interactive Ventures.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and the Law. I am Sean Garner, attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I've got sitting right next to me Adam Hansen, and across the table is Cody Beeson. We're going to talk a little bit more about the election. So how did you feel about the outcome, Adam?
It was a surprising outcome, I would say. Not surprising. I was curious going into the election to see, did Trump have an effect or not on those candidates that he endorsed? And I think you brought this up already, those that he did endorse, specifically Kerry Lake, the governor race is really interesting to me. I thought we had two good candidates on the Republican ticket. You know, you had Kerry Lake and you had Taylor Robeson. And I voted for Robeson because I thought she was, well, first of all, I'm an attorney and she's an attorney. And so I, not that that's the reason I voted for her, but I thought, well, maybe she has more wherewithal, more, understanding
analytical
gravitas,
yeah.
Or understanding of water law, because she has practiced in development most of her career, so she understands those issues. But you and I have this talk frequently, Sean, where you'll often bring up the idea of an outsider or an outsider mindset. We at our firm, we look for people that aren't necessarily coming from the legal realm when we are hiring, because we want to be able to teach that individual coming into our firm as a new hire certain procedures or certain ways of doing things. We don't want them entrenched in the old ways that they might have learned on another job at a legal landscape.
Yeah, we do things completely different than the traditional pattern. And so we don't have a lot of success of hiring from other firms because they've been indoctrinated in how majority of attorneys do it, which is billing by the hour and taking on cases that deal with conflict, and we do that completely differently, and it's hard to take that mentality out of an individual. And especially even when we hire from directly out of school, we haven't had great success from hiring paralegals that have a paralegal certificate from AWC or another college. That's interesting because we want somebody that is a blank slate when it comes to how we practice law, because we do it differently. And we've found great success in the Yuma community. And according to the past, 11 out of 12 years, we've been voted Yuma's number one law firm. So the community seems to agree that we're doing a good job. We've got over 1,000 five-star reviews over social media platforms, and so people seem to like what we're doing, and it's absolutely different than what other law firms are doing. And I think that's what you're getting at from the political standpoint. We don't want to see the same old regiment over and over again. It's not working. We want to see somebody mix it up a little bit, like Trump did.
And you made a comment earlier about specifically about Kerry Lake, and how we had this conversation yesterday. We were talking about the water issue specifically. That's a big issue to you, and you mentioned before that you're such an avid boater. You're constantly taking a note of the water levels of our river and our lakes, because you take your boat out quite often with your family, and that's fantastic. And I would argue that you have a very good knowledge of those issues. I, on the other hand, don't. My boat is most of the time broken in the shop. So when I'm out on the river, I'm usually paddling my boat back to the shore because it doesn't usually work. So I've had the opposite interest in going to the river as much as you do, Sean. But having said that, you're very entrenched in the, or I shouldn't say entrenched, but you understand the water issues more so than the average person, I would say, in our community. And you made a comment about Kerry Lake. You used the word, and I don't know if you meant to use this word or not, but you said she's kind of radical, and then you gave this example of why. She's... And when we were talking about her yesterday, you had mentioned how on the water issue itself, when you watched the debate between her and Taylor Robeson, that she brought up, they asked, well, would you be willing to build a pipeline from Mississippi to the Southwest as an option? And Kerry Lake, and I'm parroting what you told me. I didn't see the debate, but what I understood you to say was Kerry Lake's response was something like, all options are on the table. We're not going to try and censor any type of think tank on that issue. And then you mentioned that your opinion was of Taylor Robeson in that debate, that she said, no, that's debunked. She used that word debunked, which you didn't like. And correct me if I'm wrong as I'm saying this, Sean. I'm trying to paraphrase our conversation yesterday, but you said that she said, no, that's been debunked. You know, it's ludicrous to think that we could build a pipeline from the Mississippi all the way to Arizona and supply California, Arizona, Nevada with water from the Mississippi. And there's cross-species issues that are always brought up. And so basically she put the nix on that idea. The first thing when you told me that, and when you said radical, or you used the word radical to classify Carrie Lake, that word to me is not something, and I don't think you meant to use it in that term, but I think when I hear the word radical, I think of an extremist, like an Islamic extremist that is intent on doing harm to another person or a community because of their radical beliefs or ideas. I think Carrie Lake, she's not so much a radical, but she is a common sense type thinker. And why is that? Coming back to what I brought up before, because she hasn't been in this game as a politician trying to satisfy everybody and trying to do everything. And that's what politicians fall into the trap of. They think that they have to walk this line of, well, I've got to get everybody on my team in order to move along. And really, that's not the case. You just have to get the majority of people on your side. And the majority of people are on Carrie Lake's side when it comes to ballot issues, meaning ballot fraud, election fraud. That was her number one thing that she'd never shied away from. On these water issues where she's saying, I'm not going to close my mind to bringing water from the Mississippi. You know, that might sound ludicrous to some people, but why stop before we even get started? And I think it's that mentality that most people fall into, and that's the hindrance of their success. I think the antithesis of success is the I know attitude. And I say that because I see it every day in my own kids. When I ask them to take out the trash, or I ask them, hey, I need you to do this like this or like that, and the first response is, I know. And it's like, no, you don't know. Just stop saying I know and listen to what I'm telling you, and you will be successful. But it's very, very common in a lot of us where we want to feel like we know. And when you use that mentality or you go to that, you're closing your mind off to any other avenue of possibility, like bringing water from the Mississippi. I don't really know. I mean, Taylor Robeson can say that she knows because she's got so many years of experience in the law and in water law and in development law here in Arizona. And so maybe she feels like, oh, that's impossible. But the moment you feel like that or you say that to yourself, that I know mentality, I know that's impossible because it just can't be done. Well, now it won't be done because you've already closed that idea off. I think the best people are those that are willing to listen and actually implement things that might be, using your word, Sean, radical or common sense. So common sense that it's like, well, I don't know. That's kind of too easy. But I think that's what Carrie Lake does, is she brings to the table these ideas, or not so much ideas, but she's willing to listen to common sense ideas or crazy, what would be termed as crazy by some people, ideas. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You mix it and you move on. And I think successful companies are those that try this type of try and then release, try and release, try and improve, try and mix, try and move forward with ideas. And we've done that on different scales over the years, Sean. There's a book, what is it, the 12-week year, something like that?
Yeah.
And we implemented that a few years ago. It's a book called The 12-Week Year, and we implemented that concept into our law firm. And basically what we were doing is you bring in a concept of, let's throw all the ideas out there. We would have a think tank with those that were employed in our office. We would have a staff meeting. And what are the issues that we're seeing out there in the functioning of our law firm or in our company? And let's throw out some ideas. What do you think? What could we do to make it more efficient or do this, that, or the other? No ideas are off the table. And then we would implement those ideas for a quick 12 weeks. If the idea was not successful or didn't bring efficiency to our law firm or our company, then we move on and we do it again. And you keep moving. And this was really an idea that was shown by, was it Xerox back in the 90s? I can't remember the company. Or Fujitsu or something like that. It was a copy company. And I think Xerox was the bad example that they used in that 12-week.
Xerox and Kodak.
They got behind. And if you remember, historically, Xerox and
Kodak
were like the heavy hitters in photography and film. And during the 70s, 80s, the early 90s. And then all of a sudden, where did they go? And so this book, The 12-Week Year, it brings up the, it shows a case study of Kodak and of Xerox and how they got stuck in this same old mentality. They weren't progressing. They weren't changing. And as technology changed, they got phased out by other companies. Other more competitive companies came in and did things faster, better, and gave us better products. And therefore, Xerox and Kodak kind of fell behind and got overlooked.
They stopped innovating. And you have to constantly innovate because the only constant, really, is change. And we've seen that. And it's happening faster and faster, especially in our world, where we know that specifically, and I think our kids really get that when you look at the phones that we have, right? If you've got a phone that's 2 years old, that's a dinosaur, right? And they're always looking for the latest and greatest. And I think that's a really good characteristic to have, is to look for the new things and what more can it do. The phone that I'm holding in my hand right now is probably 2 years old, and it does 100 times more things than I even know about. But that's not good enough for my kids. And when I'm talking about it for my kids, now some people look at this as selfish, and that maybe fits my category too, but I say, okay, what kind of phone do you want to get? With this flip phone, we'll be able to let you call mom from school. And they're like, a flip phone? And they're like turning their nose up at a flip phone. And I'm thinking, even if I was in high school, a flip phone would have made me the coolest kid in school. I mean, if you had a pager on your belt, that meant you were popular and you were in demand. And a flip phone, I mean, when I got back, I spent 2 years in Brazil. When I got back from Brazil, when I left, nobody had them. When I got back, everybody had them. And then it quickly went up as soon as the iPhone came out. I think it was 2006 or something, the big breakthrough when the iPhone came out. And I thought, that's going to be pretty cool. And now we know that it's just dominated how we get our information. It's probably the number one source, you know, these smartphones, of how we interact with one another. And it's that type of thinking where you're constantly innovating and thinking. I remember when text first came out, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing ever. And now it's like if somebody calls me without texting first, it's kind of like showing up on my front door without
cookies?
Yeah, without any notice. It's like, how dare you, right? How dare you call me when you didn't text me to see if I was available? And
why did you even call to start with?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
just text me. Yeah.
Yeah. With a text, we can just get the information across and we can move on. We don't have to deal with the pleasantries. Which, yeah, does that get rid of some of the human interaction that we enjoy? Yes, but it also frees up your time to do more of the things you really actually do enjoy instead of chatting on the phone with somebody you don't particularly want to hang out with and exchange pleasantries.
Like who? I want names right now on the air. I want you to tell me.
No, but so, yeah.
Me, Sean, I know. Why don't you answer my calls?
No, you're the one that doesn't text me back. Carrie Lake, I did like her. I voted for her. Let's jump over to this issue of people being endorsed by Trump, right? So I Googled the other day whether somebody had to pay for an endorsement by Trump. I really didn't know. And
your thinking is, what was your thinking? Why did it even come to your mind?
Is Trump doing this just to get rich and he doesn't really care about the candidate or their politics, or is he actually endorsing the person because he believes that they're going to perpetuate the type of ideas that made America great under his leadership? And what I found was, so I searched Google, and I know right now that Google is going to be filtering out anything that is pro-Trump and is going to be accentuating and putting at the top of the search bar what would condemn him. And all I found was that people who he endorsed tended to visit his properties, whether it was in New Jersey or Florida or Las Vegas. They tended to visit his properties, and then they would show as evidence of this the individuals that he endorsed golfing with him or going out to dinner with him and things like that. And I'm like, well, why is that a bad thing? So Trump is actually getting to know on a personal level the people that he endorses. But their spin on it was, these people are enriching Trump not directly by paying him money, but indirectly by supporting his businesses. And I'm like, well, isn't that kind of the idea? Don't we want people that do business the way we like it done? And so we go and we use their services that we provide. We go and we spend time with them and they understand the type of character we have, and then from an organic type of method, a relationship is built and an endorsement is gained. I'm like, that to me, even though they were trying to spin it as something negative, reinforced that, okay, these endorsements were not illegitimate. They weren't just to the highest bidder, and that's a very good thing, because I'd be very turned off if it was just whoever came up with $1 million first got Trump's endorsement. The other thing is how successful they've been, the individuals that were endorsed. And that was downplayed on the Google searches that I found, too. It was like, well, how much is Trump's endorsement really worth? These people, and it went down a list of people, and said, yes, there was an 80% success rate of the candidates that he endorsed. And they went one by one. This person would have won anyways, and this person really didn't get that much of a nudge, and this person had these other issues go on, or their opponent had this against them. Look at the end result. Either Trump is incredibly insightful at picking winners, or the people that he is picking, number one, the American people like as well, and the American people understand that they're following the same type of concepts that have perpetuated good fiscal policy and a successful economy and generally America's presence in the world. That's what Trump did for us. And so Carrie Lake was supported by Trump. He was endorsed by Trump. Who else? We got the Senate race, big time primary there. And Blake Masters was endorsed by Trump. And overwhelmingly, he got the nomination for the GOP candidate to run for Senate.
Blake Masters was he's the young entrepreneur, correct?
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that's who we're talking about.
No, and there were some other people like Lamone that he was a very successful guy, and he contributed a lot to his own campaign. He sold the solar company that he had, and I thought that he was a reasonable choice. But Masters seemed to be a fighter. He seemed to be another one of those guys that he wasn't going to be entrenched in a single type of ideology. He was going to look outside the box. And he got Trump's endorsement, and overwhelmingly the people supported him. We've got to take a break now. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you cool and comfortable quickly. Just call 928-783-4242 or visit onehouryuma.com. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
We put our lives on the line for our country. We braved the unknown. We did what we were told, and we lit up. Our cigarette packs were as valuable as the packs on our back, maybe more. At one point, cigarettes were part of our daily ration. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. And boy, we were smoking 'em. Bumming a smoke was the norm. It was an escape from the reality of dirt, sweat, and forgetting how many days you were so far from home. Never had to worry so long as you had a light and the smoking lamp was lit. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. And thank you for your service. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
Picture yourself doing more, earning more, and helping more. With a 61-hour course and for $149, a new career as a tax pro could be yours by completing H&R Block's income tax course. Just imagine extra income, flexible schedule. With the income tax course, it's all right in front of you. Classes start 8/29/2022, so give yourself a whole new outlook. Enroll in H&R Block's virtual tax course today at hrblock.com/beapro or call your local H&R Block office. That's hrblock.com/beapro.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job, So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Quichon Casino Resort is switching gears with a new route. We're bringing the same great service to the San Luis and Summerton area. Save on gas with a comfortable, convenient, and rewarding trip straight to Quichon Casino Resort. Pay $10 and receive $20 rewards play when you book your ride. Call 800-254-3423 or visit QuichonCasinoExpress.com for details. So much, so close. Quichon Casino Resort.
Must be 21 and older. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is KBLU, and we've been talking a lot about the election results today. Leading up to this, we've been talking in some previous shows about the candidates, and we had talked about how we like some candidates and other ones we didn't like as much. And now the results are in. Last Tuesday was the election results, and we're starting to see those candidates that were directly backed by, or endorsed by, I should say, Trump, really were successful on the Republican ticket side leading into the general election in November. And Sean, you had brought up that Carrie Lake was the first one on that list. It was her versus Taylor Robeson. There were others in that race, the governor race, but really it was just those two. And Taylor Robeson was more viewed as the more towards the middle choice, I would argue. She was more
safe
political.
Bet. Yeah.
Yeah, more safe bet. And it's interesting that as you look at the result map of Arizona, you've got Carrie Lake all over. All Arizona is colored in Carrie Lake's color, except for the very middle, which is Maricopa County, and that was for Taylor Robeson.
And when you think of Maricopa County, also, sorry to cut you off here, but...
No, go for it.
I looked at Maricopa and I looked at Pima, and we know that there's a stronger progressive...
Left-leaning, or centralist, let's say.
Yeah, but central has been pushed so far left that it's not central anymore, and so... When I look at those counties, you know, I got a lot of friends and colleagues up there, but when I go up there, the mentality is different than here in Yuma.
Yeah.
Here in Yuma, I feel like our hold to true conservative values. Conservative up in Maricopa or in Pima County has been pushed to the left. And so I really liked when I saw that map where it outlined the outlier counties, they were looking for somebody to shake things up a little bit. And I think they were the more adamant supporter for Trump, and they wanted someone that said yes, the elections were inconsistent and there needed to be something explained about them, and we're not just going to let that thing go just because so many people say it's already debunked, because just by using the word debunked doesn't mean the argument's over. It means how has it been debunked, where's the evidence, because we got a ton of evidence that shows that there was a irregularities at the least and fraud at the worst. And so Carrie Lake was unwilling to back down off of that, and I really did like that, because she's not afraid of being called a conspiracy theorist and being pushed back off of true legitimate issues, because we found time and time again that individuals that are really onto something are called conspiracy theorists, and then it plays out later on that they were in fact on the right track and had something valid to argue there, but they were silenced because they were being bullied into silence and called a conspiracy theorist that was following some debunked data.
I think I grew up in a rural county in Cochise County, and if I could classify, I think, the mentality of most of Arizona, getting back to this map concept, if you were to look at the map, even in the general election of 2020, where we supposedly flipped to blue, really, Maricopa County was blue, the rest of Arizona was red, and that's historically how it is, and even in this last election, I'd argue that's probably how it is as well. And this upcoming election is probably going to be that way too. It's more purple in Maricopa County, but really the outskirts of Arizona, outside of Maricopa County, is probably red. And I grew up in a county like that, and I think it's the mentality of this old cowboy type thing. It's the common sense get the job done, and don't tell me how to do things, or don't let the government tell me how to do things. We're going to get it done, whether you like it or not. And a good example of that is Sheriff Mack. Back in the 90s, Sheriff Mack was the first and last sheriff that sued the federal government. He sued the Clinton administration from Graham County. It's right to the north of Cochise County where I grew up. It's about 20 minutes to the north of where I grew up. And Sheriff Mack sued them for gun rights. And it is the only successful case in the United States that really secured the federalist type concept between the state power and the federal power. Basically, what Sheriff Mack said was, you can't, federal government, come in here if it was not in the Constitution. It says in the Constitution that if it's not enumerated in the 10th Amendment, if it's not enumerated to the federal government, the power, then the states are free to regulate themselves. And that case won. And it's still really good law, and it supports the 10th Amendment, that Arizona has the ability, every state has the ability to regulate anything that is not enumerated in the Constitution or set apart in the Constitution to the federal government. So you could argue that a lot of these agencies really don't have the power to come in and say, hey, this is how you need to do things in the education realm, or this is how you need to do things in the border realm. The argument is there that, no, you can't come in and tell us, Arizona, because really the Constitution doesn't give you that right. Yeah, you've formed these agencies over the years, but that's not in the Constitution either. So forming these agencies, maybe you have federal power, but you can't come into Arizona and say to us that you need to do this, that, or the other with your guns or regulate our education system. I think what's happened over the years is that the federal government says, well, if you don't play by our rules, then we're not going to fund your schools. We're not going to give you these grants. We're not going to give you this money. So they've tied it to purse strings, really, the legislature has. But Sheriff Mack, back in the 90s, he sued the federal government. It's, if you want to look at the case, it's Mack v. U.S., and it's a really good case to read because in there, Justice Scalia was the majority opinion writer, and he really solidifies the Founding Fathers' intention when they drafted the Constitution of keeping the federal government separate from the state governments and how the states were to regulate themselves. And if you were to Google Sheriff Mack today, he has his own organization. It's a group of sheriffs around the nation. And they have been really on point in the election fraud issues. In fact, Sheriff Wilmot here in Yuma County, he's been one of the sheriffs that's been in the nation pushing these issues. Sheriff Mack, going back to Sheriff Mack, his argument is that the sheriffs in the United States are the ones that are our last hope for freedom. They stand in the way between the federal government and our local state rights. And it's them that really need to get into the picture here. If we're going to have election fraud type persecution or prosecution happening, the sheriffs need to get involved and need to start doing that. So I think to myself, well, okay, we've got a great sheriff in Sheriff Wilmot, and he's actually the one pursuing some election issues down in South County or in Yuma County as a whole. But really, if you were to watch 2000 Mules, that documentary by Dinesh D'Souza, you'll find that most of the fraud happened in metropolitan areas. We're talking about Atlanta. We're talking about over in Pennsylvania. Oh, my gosh. What is it? What? Philadelphia. And specifically here in Arizona, it was Phoenix. In other words, Maricopa County. So you need a conservative, not even a, I shouldn't even say a conservative. You need an unbiased sheriff in that county to actually go out and do the work to find the evidence of election fraud. Unfortunately, we don't have a sheriff in Maricopa County that will do that. He's got a political skew. And a sheriff should not be political. They should see the law as the law, and they should prosecute those violations of election fraud. And that's Sheriff Mack's argument. And we see that in Sheriff Wilmot as well. He's one of those, I would say, cowboy sheriffs in the United States that understands that it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. It is a legal issue. And if you break the law in my county, we're going to come after you, and we're going to prosecute that violation. And so we need sheriffs across the nation to get involved and find the evidence. And I think 2000 Mules has really already done a lot of the legwork. And if they would just use the GPS cell phone data, that's most of the evidence you need. If you were to look at the January 6th prosecutions that are happening right now, most of that is because of pinging of cell phone data. They can show that you, hey, you were on the Capitol grounds, you passed that barricade, you're not allowed to be there, therefore you're going to prison for 7 years. These people had no other issues in their lifetime. In fact, they're really good, God-fearing people, and now they're going to prison, and they're locked up without any due process. Why? Because their cell phones were in their pocket when they did this, when they were on the steps of the Capitol. And the FBI is using that data to prosecute them as actual hard evidence. So why can't we use that evidence when it comes to these mules?
Which is, again, lends to the hypocrisy of the argument here. When we're prosecuting these individuals that were involved in the riot that occurred on January 6th, and I'm not going to call it an insurrection because it wasn't an insurrection. There was no armed military involved. Trump didn't call out the National Guard or any type of military support for it. And, was he a bit reckless in how he conducted it? Possibly. But that's not an insurrection. If he wanted a true insurrection, a lot of blood would have been spilled and there would be some big firepower behind it. And that was not the case. It was a bunch of people that were upset about how the elections were run, and they marched on the Capitol, they got out of control, and then they vandalized it a bit. It was a bad case of vandalism, is essentially what it was. And when vandalism gets bad, then people lose their lives, and mobs can do some bad things in a real hurry. But you got to look at that for what it was instead of what the media is portraying it to be. And they're saying, okay, we can prosecute these people because we have evidence that they were there because of their cell phones, but we can't look at evidence for these mules that carried all these ballots to the ballot boxes because of their cell phones, because that's not validated type of evidence that we can use. It's such a double standard. So that's all the time we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law, KBLU, 560 AM.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Living between two countries at the same time comes with a world of possibilities. Whether I'm here in the U.S., I'm always local. I have my work here. Stopping here. Went to school here. And on the weekends, I'm surrounded by thousands of fans cheering our baseball team here. Whether I'm here, only AT&T's network stays AT&T on both sides, so I'm always local.
Use your AT&T plan in Mexico like in the USA. No catches. Two countries, one network. Only with AT&T. Available for U.S. customers. Requires eligible plan. Additional speed, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/one network for details.
There are some basic business mistakes you may be making right now. One is stopping marketing to consumers. If we learned anything from the last economic phase, people didn't stop spending, they just changed their spending habits. Those companies that offered real value and communicated it regularly with the consumer were the winners, and those that stopped or took a wait-and-see approach, they were on the outside looking in. Which do you want to be? Talk to one of our marketing experts who can help your business right now. Make a free fact-finding appointment today at YumaAdvertising.com.
Flu season is still active, and you can fend off the flu with 5 easy action items. Start with avoiding close contact with sick people, and stay at home if you are sick. Secondly, wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds at a time. Thirdly, remember to cover your coughs or sneezes. Also, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and your mouth. And the number one action item, get your flu shot. This message brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Anthem Foundation.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU.